Thank you, everyone. Good to be at the amazing grace. How sweet is that? I saved a wreck like you. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind. Now I see. Isn't that great? Good night to everybody. It is good to be with you, to share with you, talk about family for the next few nights, the next few days, on Wednesday night, on Friday night, on Sabbath. We're going to be coming together. You need to come. You need to bring your friends, your family, and whoever else you need to bring as we share and as we talk together about the family. The family is very important to God, you know that? And every time the church began to go astray, God sought the families out to bring the church back in line. I believe if there's one ministry that is very, very relevant, very, very important to the church at this time, is the family life leader. And the purpose is to bring families back in line, pointing us to the direction of the cross. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray and get into a presentation. Father, tonight, we are about to get into a study of your word. We are praying that you will indeed be with us, so that as we learn together, as we study together, together we will grow. There are families in this church that need your help. There are families in this community that need your help. So we just want to pray, Lord, that you will come near to every family member in this church, those who are present, even those that are absent. Come near to the ones in the community as well. Because, Lord, we want to invite people to know you as our Lord and Savior. We want to remind them to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So, be with us tonight. Be with me as I go through this presentation. In Jesus' name. We are going to have to talk. You're going to ask me questions. And if it's too difficult, I will not answer them. But if they're answerable, I will answer them. How's that? I don't answer the difficult questions. I leave them for somebody else. Is that all right? Good. So, I want you all to, you know, don't feel too tight. We're going to talk together as we go through this presentation. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and chapter 6 are two very, very important chapters in the Bible. I love the book of Ephesians. If there's one book that I would take time and study, it's the book of Ephesians. I've done that many times, but it doesn't matter how I go through the book of Ephesians, there always seems to be something else there to learn. It's a powerful, powerful book. Very powerful book. Every cake has ingredients, don't you think? Every cake has ingredients. What do you put in a cake when you're making it? Flour, lots of sugar, you said? Oh, okay, I thought you said lots of sugar. I consider you're a sweet man. All right, go on, what else? You already don't know what you put in the cake, do you? Eggs, that's right, eggs. What else? Water? You don't put water? You don't put water in cake? Water is the best. As opposed to what? Milk? So you have a choice, water or milk. Who's talking? What did you say? Oh, you married? You working on it? You, huh? Depends on the type of kid. Y'all must like cake and true, because y'all really spending some time to talk about the kid. Alright, come back to me now. That was a good discussion on cakes. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, please go there with me. Ephesians 5. We're going to go verse 21. What does it say in verse 21? Verse 22. Verse 23. Verse 25. Verse 28, chapter 6, verse 1, verse 2, look at that. The Bible says to the wives to do what? And to the husbands to do what? And to the children to do what? And to the fathers don't do what? So let's make a cake. As a matter of fact, let's make a family. How's that? How's that? You like that one better? Excellent? Oh, you said that's excellent. Sound very happy over that. I'm very excited over that. So here's what you need to make a good family. You're going to need a submissive wife, a loving husband, obedient children, and a father who don't provoke. So we're going to take that now. What are we going to do with it? How do you mix a cake? Do what? Combine it? Y'all get this language from? Combine it. Blend it. Okay. Blend it. Mix it up. Isn't that right? So to have then a good home, you've asked me to talk about this. A good home, you're going to have a submissive wife. Any submissive women here? You're trying to confuse me or something. But you have to be a children. Yeah, you have to be a children because, huh? You had one? We do it in your bury in the backyard. Where is he? All right. So you need a submissive wife. Isn't that what you need? You need a loving husband. Any loving husband, men in here, any loving husbands here tonight? those hands went up very fast. Wow, you know what? I believe y'all. That's interesting. All right, that's good. Obedient children. Any obedient children? They got some big children in here. And fathers that don't provoke, when you take these kind of ingredients, shake them up together, you're going to come up with a family that is strong and healthy. But here's the problem. Wives don't want to submit. Husbands don't want to love. Children don't want to obey. And we have very provocative fathers. So you see, and the cake is spoiled. Who said that? Amen. And the cake is spoiled. You see the problem, brethren? That is why the family is falling apart. Because the recipe, the ingredients that God has given us to have a successful and a happy family, we have decided rather than putting milk, we put in water. Matter of fact, I have noticed that one of the things we have done, we have also, rather than putting milk or water, we put in rum. Rum, yeah, R-U-M. Cockspur, Monge, brandy. So we have totally messed up the plan of God. We have decided that rather than do it God's way, we are going to do it our way. Let me tell you something. When it comes to family, you have to do it God's way. You have to. You cannot tell a manufacturer of a car how to build a car. You cannot tell him how to maintain it. He tells you how to do it. So man has become rather wayward. We have taken the family and kicked it down the curve, expecting to do as we like, but still have happy and healthy communities. Why do you think those young men can go and just throw bombs and kill people? They don't have any compassion in their hearts. They don't have any love in their hearts. They don't have anything because simply they did not learn it home. You can't learn love at home. You can't learn how to be compassionate and turn around and throw bombs in places and kill children. 16-year-olds, teenagers. Young men, young people killing young people. That's why the family has gone in a total disarray. We have permissive parents. They're letting their children do as they like. There's no guidance. There's no training. There's no nothing anymore. The child say they're going somewhere. You say galam. No direction. No focus. And the family is being ripped apart. You can't have a family that is ripped apart and have a community that is safe. Matter of fact, if you want to see some weird, messed up communities, go in communities where children are allowed to do as they like. You've got to be careful walking through there. Somebody shoot at you or throw a rock at you just because they look at you. That is what we are coming to now. That is the problem we are having. And we're going to have to correct it starting from the church. Give me a next slide there, baby. Next slide. In verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says this, and do what? Don't be afraid to read. Read with me. And do what? Walk in. No, this is important. Walk in love. Walk in love as. Now watch it. Now watch. Watch it. Hey, don't miss it. The Bible says, and walk in love as. Now that word as is very, very important in the text. As Christ also loved us and has done what? Given himself for us. So watch what happens here now. We are admonished to walk in love as Jesus walked in love. The only way to love is to love like how Jesus loved. There ain't no other way. Watch it. And given himself for whom? That's right. An offering and a what? Sacrifice. Love requires a lot of sacrifice, you know. I've been married long enough to know, right? That if I want to love well, I got to be willing to sacrifice. My love calls for a lot of sacrifice. You know, sometimes there's a the sacrifice is so great it hurts. It pains. It wears you out. I just got $400 the other day. I was very happy for it. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about, but $400 is a lot of money to me. Yeah. And as soon as I got that $400, I was hoping I could just keep it. Just to pull it there, just to know I got it. That's all. I just keep it and look at it every now and then and say, okay, I got $400. I just want to look at it. And I want to cash the check. I want to pull it out, look at it, and say, oh, cool. Awesome. Push it back in. But my children decided they wanted money. And I had to take that and send it for you. I wanted to keep it. I can tell you honestly, I just wanted to keep it. I really wanted to keep my money. But love says, the child has a need, pull it out. Go to the bank and cash it and send it on. Trust me, I still think about it, but I still want that $400. Sacrifice, sacrifice. And watch it now. The Bible says, as a sweet smelling savior. Anytime you make a sacrifice, it's like a sweet smelling savior going up to God. Incense, it goes sweet. God says, aha, it hurts you, but it's good to hurt you. Give until it hurts. That's what I'm talking about there. And that is what families are required to do. Your wife right here? Not yet. You want to talk about that right now or what? You lady said no. Me, you want to talk about it later? Sacrifice. You got to make sacrifices. And I have noticed that families don't want to make sacrifices. Man, you got to make sacrifice. Okay, you want to lay down and sleep. And the wife tell you, she wants you to get up early in the morning because she wants something done. Don't say to the woman, I ain't getting up because I want to sleep late. That may be true, you want to sleep late. But watch it now. She has a need. Take care of the need. Sacrifice and get up early in the morning. Take care of the thing. And later on, you can go back to sleep or something. You can let a little bit of sleep stop you from making your wife happy. Then you can miserable for the rest of the week. Oh, man, I'm saying. Give me my next slide, please, baby. Give me my next slide. Watch it now. Families who walk. Now watch the words about walk. Families who walk well are not doing it for themselves, but they're doing it for whom? We got to walk well. Walk tall. Let me tell you something. Walking is important. They got some fellas, men or women. When I was going to school, I was told that everybody is a fella, a woman or a man. We got some fellas can't walk, you know. You got to check yourself. You're going to get a little personal there. You're going to come back on Wednesday night. I'm going to get a little personal here, Ella. Watch it. You got some fellas don't walk well, you know. Your wife sit in this corner here, and they sit over here. No, there's really nothing wrong with that, you know. But they're not sitting over here because you follow me? It's simply because they don't want to be close to each other. And the farther I am from you, the better. So you go in that corner, and I go in this corner. Here. Because we do some strange things. Some very strange things that stop us from walking like we need to walk. Yes, sir. Saying harsh and mean things to your spouse. We don't walk well. We have to learn how to walk. Walk with our heads up. When you put down the cell phone, don't bother with the cell phone. Let it ring. If the wife pick it up and look at it, what? Well, you're hiding something. You got to learn how to walk. Yes. Why can't your husband look at your cell phone? Where are you hiding? You're hiding something? I got my cell phone when it rings. My wife is look. I think it's a natural thing to look. So I said, baby, just answer it, man. Some fellas got some cell phones that are very fancy. And they hide them. What are you hiding your cell phone for? You got two. You got to learn how to walk. That's my point. And if you're going to walk well, if you're going to walk in love, it means you can't have secrets from each other. We have too many secrets in the house. Dodging this on the internet in the middle of the night, getting up just to do a little thing quick before your spouse find out. You know, right at that point, your spouse is in a deep sleep. Nobody didn't tell me that. I just assumed that. But that make a lot of sense to me. Because ever we're going to do that, I will come out at nighttime when she's in a deep sleep and start to chat with the girlfriend. That's what I will do. We got to learn how to walk. We're not walking right. We have to walk for God. Relationships are not about whom, but you, but it's about whom? God. God, that's what it's about. Give me the next slide there, baby. Now, I like verse 14. Let's see what verse 14 says. Verse 14 puts it this way. It says, awake thou that do what? We got a lot of sleeping folk in the church. We got to wake up out of the slumber. Stop sleeping. While you are sleeping, the devil is working. That cell phone that you have, that computer that you have, you better take them down and drop them in the garbage. Well, if I bring it by my house, I can do with them. I ain't doing a funny business with it. You got to get up in the morning. You have to have family worship with your family. You got to pray with them during the day. You got to pray with them at night. It's the only way you're going to have a successful family. There are too many secrets in the family. I don't know about you, but I go to certain homes and I see these fancy picture frames. You ever see them yet? Picture frames looking nice. The husband and the wife and the children smiling. And sometimes you can look and see the smile. It's not a real smile, like a plastic smile. Have you ever looked at that picture frame and wondered what's going on in the head of the person you see? Have you ever gone into a house and look at a picture frame? See all those fancy looking pictures of those nice hairdos and those good haircuts. Well, not you, but you that you take off all. Right? But for those people who have fancy hairdos, you remember? Look into the picture frame. But it is loaded with secrets. There's pain inside of there. You can look into the eyes of some of those women sometimes and see the pain in the eyes. Well, it depends. The pain is there. Because we have chosen to mix the wrong ingredients to make a family. Wrong ingredients. So Paul says, awake, thou that sleepest, your sleep, and arise from the dead. Can you imagine that? Paul is talking to Christians. He's saying, you are dead. Get out of your sleep. You are walking dead. He says this, and Christ shall give you light. Verse 16 says, redeeming the what? Time, that is, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to elaborate on that. That is clear. Next slide, baby. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. Here it is. I love this slide. I want you to watch it now. Watch this slide carefully. Read with me, please. You got to get this. Between what? Stimulus and there is a space. Hold on. Between stimulus and response, there's what? A space. Stay with me. In that space lies our what? Freedom and power to our what? In our response lies our what? Growth and our freedom. Let's go through that again. Read it, please. Read it. Mm-hmm. Stephen Covey says that. Watch it now. Next slide. Between stimulus and there's a space right inside of here. And that space is your freedom to choose. One thing about God, He has given every one of us the power of choice. That's right. He's given us the power of choice. And since we have that power of choice, God says, listen, the stimulus is there. Something has jerked you to make a decision. That's very interesting. Let me beat upon you a little more. It's rather interesting, the kind of stimulus that we get. I like girls, you know. You like girls? I love girls. Come on. Daddy, you like girls? You better. I like girls. Especially Asian girls. Nothing personal now. Nothing personal. But I love a Asian girl. I think a Asian girl is the best looking girl to be found anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, Beijing. But watch me now. See, my wife is there so I can talk freely, you know. See, there's certain things you can just talk freely. See, when you don't have anything to bother about, you can speak freely. My wife knows I like the girls. Why don't hide it? What do you think she get there? If I don't like girls, she won't be there. You think that because I marry her and all that, I did? No. Still like the girls. I know some of them like me too. I know that. Huh? Oh, of course. But watch it. Check the stimulus. When I see a girl that I like, you know, to say the grass is up green on the other side? She looks good. There's a stimulus. Now I can do one of the two things. I can check her out. That's my stimulus, you know. I can check her out. I can say, hey, baby, what you doing later on? I can take out a number, right? And I can give it to her. Call it digits. Digits, I like you. You're a baby. She is a baby. I give her some digits, Dudley. I can give her some digits. Say, give me a call. That's my stimulus. Something that prompts me. You see that? That's right. That's my stimulus. But watch it now. Watch this. Now, because the grass looks greener on the other side, chances are she may look or appear to look a little better than my wife. No, that's not really possible, but you know, that ain't possible. But watch it. It might just appear that way because the devil has a way of making it appear that way. But I aren't the devil. I aren't him. Seriously, I aren't him. See, I already know what he's up to. Yes. So watch it now. When I see the girl, she's on my mind a little bit. I said, man, it's a nice looking lady there. Watch it now. And I glance over by the wife. And I said, man, that's a beautiful lady. Satan, watch it, boy. I'm staying here. You see what I'm saying? I'm staying here. Now, if my wife didn't make herself look decent, now we would have a little problem. You know what I'm saying? That's why your wife should always look decent, see? Oh, yes, your wife need to learn to brush her teeth. No, seriously. So watch this. So watch this now. I glance at the wife and I give her a little wink or something like that, you know? So sometimes then I go over and when I'm standing up and I see the fine sister over there, I just hold my wife's hand there so whispering a little prayer in the heart. You know what I'm saying? Whisper a little prayer in the heart. You see what I'm saying? But then I go home with her. I go home with my wife, man. Going home with my wife. You see, watch it here. Don't miss this. The stimulus was there. There was something there to jerk me to make a move. Because it's not my freedom to choose. I can choose whether or not to leave my wife. I can choose whether to leave my children alone. That is my choice. But listen. Go back, baby. Go back to my next slide. Go back to the next one now. The next one. No. You're going backwards, baby. Backwards. There you go. Watch it here now. Watch it here. Yeah, she figured it out. Watch it here. Awake thou that sleepeth. Because there's a hypnotic effect. When you look at some of these Bajan ladies, the hypnotic is like, woo!
Like, I'm coming for you, baby. I'm coming for you.
There's a hypnotic effect. But watch it now. Because the love of Christ constrains me, because I have committed myself to my family, I am not going to be a walking dead. I am not going to be a walking dead. I am going to arise and get the light of Jesus on me. Now come back, baby. Come forward. Now come back. Stay right there. My response is simply this. I will make sure I treat my family like God wants me to treat them. There's always a stimulus. There's always something to move you here. But this, within here, lies your power. The power of choice is a powerful thing that God has given us. Powerful. Give me the next slide, baby. You're doing well. Watch it. The stimulus is the response. Right in here, there's the space. The space is the freedom to choose. What are you going to choose? And we have all of these different things here. Next slide, baby. Verse 20 says this. Give thanks. Oh, yes. Listen, we got to learn to give thanks. And I give thanks every day. Isn't that right? For the family that God has given me. If you learn to give thanks for what you have, God will continue to bless you. But if you get up every morning just because you see another woman down the road, you know that's serious business. I tell you, it is serious. Let me tell you how serious it is. I know, you know. Don't think that I wasn't distracted. You know. Distracted. Yeah. Someone else is going to make you go home and fall on your knees and pray. You know? You serious? That sister looked really fine. And you believe because she looked fine that she looked fine for you? That ain't true. You got to go home and lead them and say, Lord, you know what? I see this woman today. And she's a little distracting. I can't get her off my mind. But I want to get her off so I can stay focused on my family. Yeah. That's what you do. But let me tell you right now. If you think that man going to hang around there and wait for you until you decide to leave that other fella alone, you're wrong. If you think that woman is going to hang around there waiting until you make it your mind, you got something that's coming. That woman is going to walk over you so fast. That man is going to leave you so hard, he's going to shake your entire world. And you only miss the water when the well runs dry. Are you all listening to me? The family has to stay intact. It has to stay intact. Talk about those children later on. Not tonight, those children. Give me the next thing. Give thanks to God. Now watch it. Here's a few things we're going to do quickly. You have got to learn to create an atmosphere of mutual respect for the role of each family member. Learn to respect each other. There's a lack of respect in some of these homes. You have to learn to respect the smallest child because all of them have something to contribute. You don't have to agree, but you need to respect. Learn to respect. And then, healthy families encourage each family member to play their role. Yeah. Encourage each other to play a role. Your job is to cook. Your job is to iron. You can clean outside. But you like outside, so stay out there and clean. Your job, you're going to clean the house inside because you don't like to be outside. So everybody has their own role. Having your own role, do not tear each other down. Encourage each other. Say, hey, man, you cleaned that there really good. One of the things I used to do with my children is this. You know, boys don't like to wash dishes, you know? You know what that says? How you know what that says? You got boys? You got Reezy? Reezy? Reezy boy? Is your wife? Now we should call you a boy, man. Huh? I like that. So watch it. I tell my son, you're going to wash the dishes. Dad, man. One thing you don't do with children, don't get into another argument and discussion with them. And listen, anything you get into argument with children, you're going to lose. You're going to lose it every time. So you don't get in. So I said, son, go and wash the dishes. Dad, man, cheese on bread. Why I got to wash the dishes, Dad? Why Rikilin can't wash them? She washed them the last time, son. That ain't true. I washed them the last time. When was the last time you washed the dishes, son? My dad, it was, man, some time ago, Dad, man, I washed the dishes. I said, oh, okay. Son, I'm so glad that you washed the dishes the last time. Wash them again for my gang, please. Don't get in an argument and say, no, you didn't wash the dishes the last time because don't need all of that. No. That, you're going to lose that argument. Call the children know how to twist things, twirl things, wear you out. By the time they're finished with you, you're tired, worn out, beaten down. I ain't got no time with all of that, son. Wash your dishes now. But dad, all right, come, son, let me go and help you wash your dishes. Come on, let's go and wash your dishes. And I go in there and wash one and left and finish with it. Say, son, I'll be back there. And watch it. Don't care how the brother washed the dishes, he never washed them well. Because he don't want to wash them in the first place. But watch it. But when he has done his part, here's what we would say to him, son, you did a very good job on these dishes. See, we already knew that he wasn't going to wash them clean anyhow. But it's a training method. So when he is gone and his back is turned and he don't know what's happening, then we finish cleaning them off, wash them and put them on. He didn't have to know that. But he washed the dishes. Are you all listening to me? Y'all better listen. That is how it goes. What on earth was I talking about? Okay, good. So watch it. So we would say, son, that's a good job. You say to the children, clean up your room. Oh my goodness gracious. That one never seemed to work. Clean up your room. Dad, I cleaned the room. You did? Great, son. You're going to look at the room. What on earth did he clean? But it looks the same way. I said, son, you clean it? You say, yeah, dad. I said, son, what did you clean? Dad, I took out the book that was there, and I put it there. I took it, there's a pants. I said, but son, there's a pants here. There's one there. There's a dirty shirt here. Son, what's up? Son, clean your room. But dad, I got to go and play. I said, son, you ain't going nowhere unless you clean this room. But dad, I got to go. I said, son, you ain't going nowhere. But dad, if I don't go and start to reason, and I listen to all the reason. And whenever he's finished, I say, son, you're going to clean the room. And he reasoned all over again. I said, son, you're going to clean the room. And he reasoned all over again. I said, son, you're going to clean the room. Shh, dad, man. And he's going to clean the room. But if you get into all this, so son, you know, okay, I know you got to go down the road and hang out with your boys. When you come back, clean the room. No, you ain't going nowhere unless you clean the room. But when he goes in now, he may not clean it like he should clean it, but he tried his best. As far as he's concerned now, it looks good. I look in and say, oh, goodness. Anyhow, son, good job. Keep it up, son. But, sonny, next time I want you to make sure you do it a little better, okay? Okay, Dad. Are you listening to me? Encourage people to do their roles. Encourage them. Here. Now, how did I get to this? Go back to the next slide, baby. Okay. Families, healthy families encourage each other to play their role. Okay, good. They encourage each other to play their role. Next slide now. Good, wonderful. When you are not here, you're missed. Does that ever happen to you? Your wife ever say to you, I miss you when you ain't home? Or does your wife say, man, I'm so sorry when you get home, man?
Why did he come home? Why didn't he stay out, man? Are you missing when you're not at home? Ricardo, does she miss you? She's miss you? You sound very sure about that. You miss him when you're home? When the boy's not home, you miss him? She said she'd miss you, man. Amen. And that's what we're talking about. When you are not here, I miss you. Why would I miss you? Because when you are not here, then I don't have anyone to come in the kitchen while I'm cooking to wash the dishes. I don't have anyone to help me sweep up this place. I don't have anyone to help clean the house. I don't have anyone to sit down and talk with me. When you are not here, I miss you. One of the things I always love coming home from work. Coming home from work is always a good thing. But that's only for people who work. You got some lazy men around, you know. You don't want to work anymore. You want your wife to go work and you stay home, see you the house husband. You say, what? You better go find a job. Watch it. One of the things I've always enjoyed over the years coming home, all the years I've been married, especially some little rough and tumble times. You know, you always have the rough and tumble times. The rough and tumble times are good for you. When I get through the door, I hear things like, Daddy is home! Children, come! Daddy is home! It's like one big surprise. Sometimes I just go down the road for a little while and come back. As soon as I step through the door, I say, hey, Sally, back home! Glad to have you back home, Sally! You know how that makes you feel? I miss. So, it's always good to leave home. So you can come back. You see? And get that. You see? Yes, yes, yes. You gotta know to work that. You gotta know to do that. You have to create an atmosphere of warmth and acceptance. Watch it. Be deliberate to have a plan each week to be with your spouse. Be deliberate in doing it. Some fellas work on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Huh? Always working. Saying, oh, hear the saying, look, oh. Got bills to pay. What? One of these days you're going to come home, right? And your bills are going to reduce significantly. Because you're going to come to clean house. So you're going to have a lot of time to pay. You're going to have less money. So you're going to have a lot more money in your pocket. Let me tell you something, man. Your wife wants you at home. She understands that you have to work. But if perchance you are a hard working man, plan times each week to be with her. Talk to me, ladies. I'm working with you here now. Don't leave me over here by myself, ladies. I'll turn on you. Yes. Plan a time. Look at your calendar. Open it up and say, well, I had to go and build some blocks there for Miss Brown on Monday. I got to build some food. Man, every week I'm building blocks with somebody. But anyhow, hear what? I'm going to take Monday afternoon off. I'm going to leave work at 3 and come home. I'm going to take a shower and relax with my wife. Yes. Amen. Let me tell you something, boy. That can work wonders, man. She would think that you're the best thing ever walked on the face of the earth. Let me say it again, sis. I will take the little time off, huh? And she will think that you are the best thing that ever walked on the face of the earth. Simply because you thought about her, you put aside something that was important. You are going to be paid $600 just for that afternoon. But you decide, you keep your $600. I am going to go home and spend some time with my family. Let me tell you something. Don't talk about the problems. No. Talk about good things. Have a good conversation. Let me tell you something. It will be worth your while. Try to see. She'll be on. What's she on? Speaking of her favor, she shouldn't be on. She should be there jumping and rejoicing and offering her. Being happy. Yes, you look at you. Hey, he's a little cutie right there. Watch it. So be deliberate. Cancel an appointment. There you go. Cancel an appointment. Next slide. Now, you know, one time, I would be out all night visiting the members morning, noon, and night. I would come in, change clothes, eat. You know, come home and cook for everybody. Then everybody eat. We sit down on the table, eat, and gone again to some bird meeting with you members. Yeah, some meeting. So my son look up at me one day. I never forget. I can see it like day. I had just walked through the door. And my son came right in front of me, looked up and said, "Dad, I don't see you too often." I said, "Huh? That's interesting." I said, "All right." I gone on going out, you know, doing my stuff. And then one day my wife said, "But Mr. Selman," I always know when I'm in trouble, she's called me Mr. Selman. Or if that's the case, and this is a pastor, Selman, I said, "Oh, I'm in trouble now." My wife looked at me one day and she said, "Well, you don't stay home anymore. Let me tell you, I did done with your church members from then." Yes, sir. I cut that time down, man. I was home. I would come home for the evening, go out when everybody's out. When everybody come home, I come home. Sit down, eating everything. And then when I'm done, sitting with my children, help them do homework. All kind of, I was done with y'all. But the Lord blessed me. I discovered that even when I did that, my work did not suffer. Very, very important. Look for positives in people. You know, it is easy for us to look for negative things in each other. Don't you know that? Look for negative in our children. Look for negative in our husbands. Look for negative in our wives. Let me tell you something. If you begin to focus on the positive things in your spouse, all of those problems that you're talking about will go away. You don't know that? People like to talk about the negative to produce a positive effect. Only crazy people think like that. If you want a positive response from people, you have got to say something positive and do something positive. You have to. That's the only way it's going to work. Children come through the door. We always come home every evening with a shirt tail out door. Next evening. Wait, you comb your hair this morning? Next evening. Wait, why is it that button off your shirt? Every time you do that, you are pushing that child away from you. It's going to register one day that all you focus on is on negative. And when that child comes through the door now, you're going to peep in before he comes in. They're going to check the scene out first. And then they're going to say, "Mommy, Daddy did. No way he sings. Good." In through the door. Take off the school clothes and put them away. And then you're going to look at the child and say, "Wait, you came home and didn't say good evening?" And the child. And as that child gets older, you are going to ask yourself the question, why is it that you don't have a relationship with your children when you destroyed it in the earlier stages? Same thing goes with your wife and a husband. A wife comes in the house, the man looks at her and says, "But why you don't comb your hair? Why you don't go to your hairdresser?" "Well, you don't give me the money to go to your hairdresser. You don't work no way. Don't work the way I want." Next time you see the wife, "Wait, what's wrong with that dress? You can't find a better dress to put on. Go and change your dress. Go and change who dress. You want to change, you change it yourself." And every time you go something negative, so the woman looks at the man and say, "Your belly getting big." Now you getting that man food late every night. And he eating it and belching hard, and you saying, and going off to sleep, and you saying the stomach getting big. Of course it's going to get big. Right? So watch it. Every time the man turns up, you know what I don't like about your mother? She won't keep up my business. And they tear each other down, and then now they're surprised that they don't have a good relationship. Why would you be surprised over that? But when you take your wife and you look at, sometimes you got to look at some of you boys real hard, or to point something, be honest, you got to look hard. Nice shoes, baby, nice shoes. Nice shoes. Next time, you got to look around a little bit. You're losing weight. That's nice. I like that. You're losing weight. That thing you're not really sure, but you're just losing. You're losing weight. Oh, okay. Good. I like that. Go, girl. Get it. You say to that man, you know, I notice that your stomach is coming down, girl. I notice your stomach is coming down. Or you say, wait. You look, you're getting good looking, you know. Getting good looking. What are you doing that you're looking so good looking now? All right. I like it though. You keep it up. When you find something positive to say, it grows the relationship. There's always something positive to say. Find it. We're going to have to finish up here. Watch it. But you got to learn how to forgive. Learn how to forgive. You know, some people say, I can't forgive that one. Why not? Why can't you forgive that one? What can your spouse do that you wouldn't forgive him for or her for? What? Name something. Go on and name it. If you're brave, go on. Show me how brave you are. Go on, name it. You're brave? Huh? Got a woman? You won't forgive him for that? Well, you should be glad you got a woman. It means that he's attractive. That ain't a bad thing. Man. Good. Now, if you go sleeping every woman, that's a different thing. That's what you mean? But I know what you say. Name something that your wife could do that you wouldn't forgive her for. You got no wife? But I tell you this is the best thing to name it now, because chances are somebody here listening. A possible wife. You're a forgiving person? Hey, any single ladies here? You got a man right here. You can choose any of these ladies here, but that one in the back there, you stay away from her. If you get personal, that's mine. Something that you wouldn't forgive a woman for. You would always forgive? Good. What kind of men you all got over in this church, man? You got some forgiving men at this church. You're good men. Let's check the ladies out. What is one thing you won't forgive a man for? You know? You haven't given it thought? What about you? You forgive? What about you, dear? You're forgiven too? You forgive until? That finger tastes good. What about you, dear? One thing you won't forgive for. You forgive? Man, you got some weird people over here. Everybody forgives around here. You know you have to be crazy to forgive people. You know that? You have to be crazy to forgive people. So you think you should forgive a woman if she commits adultery? Yeah. Who said yes? You think you should forgive a man if he commits adultery? Somebody say, well, hell no. Who said that? Anybody? Oh, you said no? Oh, you're not going to forgive him? Huh? Why you say that? You working on that? So watch it. There is really nothing under the sun. Nothing that you can't forgive somebody for. Even in cases of adultery, that proves what kind of person you really are. Yes, sir? Nobody wants their wife or husband to go and commit adultery. But when it happens, what are you going to do? But I already know that some women just don't forgive for some little thing that, oh, I don't understand why you always keep it up the toilet. See, I never forgive you for that. Simple stuff. Learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is key to having a good home. Always seek to understand.
never to be understood. Don't try to be understood. Don't try to get him or her to understand you. Try to understand what the other person is saying. That's what you do. Never take sides. Conflicts and disagreements are inevitable, but use them to make the family stronger. Next slide. Tell stories. Some of these stories are boring, though. But tell stories. Remember important dates. Remember your anniversary dates. Remember your birth dates. Remember the dates that you met each other. You have to remember dates, especially when it comes to ladies. Ladies have this thing with dates. I don't understand it, but remember them. Try to remember them. If you can't, I used to have a difficult time remembering my wife's birthday. Shoot, I used to have a difficult time remembering my birthday. But I developed a strategy to remember it. And now I remember it very, very easy. Very, very good now. Special times to eat. You have to have special times to eat. You have to come home and eat with your family. That's a must. Don't come home and pick up the food and go in the backyard and sit down and eat it. Take yearly holidays together. Go and do things together each year. People say, I ain't got no money to go on holidays. Find some. If people working all day, working Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and don't have any money to take a holiday, why are you working? Listen, we go on holidays all the time. I never have any money. I tell you, we never have any money. You doubt me? Ask my wife over there. We take holiday and gone. One day a few days ago, we were on holiday. And we were down Huntsville by our house in Huntsville, Alabama. So my wife decided she wanted to go in Atlanta. So we were getting ready to come home in the next few days. But she wanted to go to Atlanta to see some friends that had come up from Barbados, plus some family that we had. They went in Atlanta and they were hanging out at the house. You know, my wife loves a party. Anything's a party, she's ready to go. So watch it. So I there fixing, working on the van, you know, because I took the time off from work. The children have a way of, I tell the children, check the van every now and then to make sure. The children will run the car, until the radiator just like, pow! So we go down there, we try to fix the van up, make sure everything. So we were working on it and so on and so forth. And Pastor Dell was with us. He went down with us after GC. We went down there together and had a really good time. So he was helping me clean up the fix the van and so on and so forth. My wife came out and said, Sally, the others in Atlanta, we want to go up to Atlanta. I said, baby, come on. Man, that's 3 hours away and I'm trying to work on the van. And she left and come back. She left. And then she came back later on while Pastor Della and myself were inside the garage working on the van. And she said, Sally, come now, man. Let's go up. Let's go up in Atlanta and see the others. I said, baby, it's evening. We get it. It's going to be late. She said, man, don't mind about that. Don't worry about that. Let's go. Sorry for her thought, she ain't got drugs, she just sit down and relax. So watch it. So Sister Dell and my wife, Sister Dell came out in the garage now, and she put a chair and sit down and get talking. She and my wife like the van inside and discussed something. I don't know what it is. But it came back out and my wife said, man, Sally, let's go up to Atlanta and hang out. The others are up there. We can have some fun and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about excitement. Don't free yourself up. So I look at Pastor Dell. I said, Pastor, how you feel about this trip? Right? It's going to be 3 hours. The boy said, he's up to you. My wife did stand up watching. I could see it in her face, but her face bright. Eyes sparkling. Well, what are you going to do with eyes sparkling like that? Got to drive, man. Got to move. I said, all right, the problem, we can try and leave in the next 2 hours. Man, we just start pulling things together. You had to go and pull the suitcases down, throw everything in the suitcases. Bam, bam, bam. Go and pack up the van in 2 hours, them fellas are ready to go. We had to finish up the van, we had to do this, we had to do that. But there's some things they had to do over there. Do this and do that. We took about what? How many hours, baby? 3 hours? 3.5 hours to get up there. Let me tell you, that sun was hot. Because one thing we had to fix on the van was the AC. We didn't get a chance to fix that. And that sun was hot. You think that lady's here? My son looked at me and said, Dad, we're going to drive it in that family's hot, son. Son, we got to go.
Man, we just jump in there and gone up the road. When we got to Atlanta, we went and knocked at the door because they didn't know we were coming. See, I'm trying to show you, you just got to do these strange, crazy things sometimes in your family. Don't try, everything got to be all add up in. Oh, well, let's go long, go long, go long. Go long. When we get to the house, man, let me tell you, we went and knocked at the door. They did not know we were coming. When they discovered that we were there, not me, my wife, they like her more than they like me, I imagine. That's my family. Yeah. Man, you should hear the scream in that neighborhood. What time did we get there in the morning, baby? Huh? 10:30? 10:30 in the night. You got about 10:30 in the night. Man, you should hear them people keeping noise in that little quiet neighborhood. You should hear people now. Yes! 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 All night, those folks sat down and talked. They did not sleep all night. Just having fun. You gotta learn to have fun. Do some reckless things sometimes. Go and do stuff. Enjoy yourself. Make your family happy. Enjoy yourself. We came back to Barbados. We didn't have a cent to go back up to America again. But the money came somehow. We were gone again. Back with the children again. You gotta enjoy yourself. You gotta have fun. You gotta relax. You gotta, man, church folk are stiff folk. How y'all get so stiff though? How y'all get like that, man? How you got like that? Relax yourself. Enjoy life. You ain't gonna be down here forever, you know? Make yourself happy. If you can't afford a big fancy house, a little one and be happy in it and go somewhere and enjoy yourself. Don't try to keep up with nobody because nobody really looking at you anyhow. Have fun. Make your life happy. Insist on good values. Say hello to people and smile. There's some folk don't like to smile. Anyone say hello and smile? Smile. Ain't gonna hurt you. Trust me, ain't gonna hurt you. Doesn't feel always vexed. As long as you with a vexed face, I ain't talking to you, you know. I already know the people who have vexed faces want me to talk to you. I ain't gonna talk to you, man. Relax yourself. Learn to enjoy life. Say a please and thank you. Simple little things. Please, thank you. All those simple little things, say those. Say hello. Do not hurt people. And do not let people hurt you. That's important. Remember, this is important, folk. You're talking about having a good home. People are more valuable than things. When my children break a plate or something at home, I say, somewhere you break the plate. Daddy, man, I was saying, I said, all right, just pick it up. I don't want you to think, I pick it up. You break it, you pick it up. I'm going to throw it in the garbage. Story end. But some parents say, that is my plate that I had a long time ago. Who tell you that you can break that plate? I'm going to put some lashes. Man, you got to be kidding. You for real? Over a plate? No, man. All I want to know is that you're sorry that you broke that plate. As long as you're sorry you broke that plate, we good to go. Story end. Learn to communicate. Learn to talk about small things. Relax yourself. Laugh at and with. Laugh, man. Learn to laugh. People don't laugh. Laugh. Enjoy yourself. Talk about religion, politics, sports. Discuss deep and personal issues, but do not repeat to anyone. In other words, the things that you discuss with your spouse and your children, don't discuss with everybody else. No, and especially a man. As long as you tell a man, as long as a man shares something with you, and you're going to tell your friend, you're doomed. Man has nothing else to say to you. So don't discuss things. Face difficulties head on. Learn to be calm. Learn to pray. Push. Stay positive. Learn to talk. Try new things, even if they make you uncomfortable. And some people must do that to get out of their comfort zone. It make you uncomfortable, do it anyhow. You think that I wanted to drive all up the way to Atlanta? I was having a good time relaxing myself. But when we get on the road and start talking and laughing, it felt good. Learn lessons from suffering. That's not the first time my wife did those kind of crazy things. She had to do it with me. The way the Lord made me, I would try to figure out. I said, baby, you know we ain't got no money for this. That's how the Lord made me. But the Lord put her in my life to say, hey, shut up. Belong to your wife. I'll make a way. And it works. It works. And you got to listen to your wife sometimes here. Matter of fact, I find when I listen all the time, it'll be all right. No pun intended, man, but these men have this thing and say, I'm the man around here. What I say? No, you're no man around here. You think you're a man because you say you're a man? You're a man based on the things that you do, man. Yeah. My wife looks at me and she said, listen, you see that girl? Watch her, girl. She's in trouble. I said, all right, baby, if you say so, that is it. Yeah, look at my wife and say, man. Nah, man, that ain't going to happen. I'm a man. I can take care of myself. No. No, no, no. My wife said, be careful. I've been very careful. Learn to listen to the wife. Sally, you know, you can get in trouble. You're fine. Hey, Sally, wait a minute. I had a different pants to put on tonight. This was not my pants. And I asked Cindy, baby, I said, hey, how does pants look with this jacket? I had it. She said, all right, the first time. But then I look at her face and I discover, I said, babe, tell me, but look. And then she said, you better change your pants. I said, all right, no problem. I take off your pants, put on your pants. I think I look kind of cool. And let me tell you something, I don't care if you think I look cool or not. She thinks I look cool. Story end. I don't have that time to be playing. I ain't no macho man and all that kind of, I don't have no time for that. You got to relax yourself. But I'll tell you this, I have learned this. Bear this in mind. I have learned this, gentlemen, that I set the pace in my family. I'm telling you, I set the pace. If I don't set that right pace, things don't work out well. But when the pace is set, the wife steps in and says, hey, look, but, you know, they ain't what we decide on. So if they ain't what you decide on, relax yourself. Go with the lady. No, ladies, don't get hot-headed. Don't get all tired. You got to learn to listen to the men. Because we are very factual. We got it done pat. We are good. We got it together. So don't fool yourself. We know it. We got the facts and the figures. We got it all down there. We know it good. We are good at that. So listen to us when we talk about it because we got it good. Yes, sir. So don't come fighting with us. When we decide to tear and stay with something, that you know we're onto something. Leave it alone. Yes, sir. What was that? Man, I'm keeping you all long. Relationships must expect hardship to find harmony. It must get rough sometimes. Relationships requires the giving of oneself. You got to give of yourself. One thing I've learned about my family, I don't know about you, man. I find that I'm always giving to them. Giving. Sometimes I wonder where this stuff come from. I find I'm constantly giving. But you know what I've noticed? The more that I give, the more God gives me. Watch it. God gives. Sorry. God gives and I give. So it goes like, pow, 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 pow. God keeps replenishing. Why? Because you're giving of yourself to your family. And that is what we do. That's what Jesus did. He gave of himself. He keeps giving. He keeps giving. Until the giving killed him. And some of us may have. But if you die for your family, you die for a good cause. They're going to put a plaque up in your house on your behalf. A plaque. She'll get another husband, but at least there's a plaque in your house. And no, you can't touch it. So Paul says this whole thing that we have just talked about here. Paul says one big mystery. We don't understand this whole thing about family. Why God created a husband and a wife, children. Why God made a man and a woman. Two people that look different, talk different, behave different. They're different. Paul says in Ephesians 5:32, it's a mystery. But it's a mystery that can be unfolded. Why? Because God has given a male part of himself and a female of himself. And God has taken those two, the man and the woman. He's brought them together. And when they live right, they represent God in totality. And representing God to the world, God says, now lay, show to the world that a man who looks different, a woman who looks different, who
think different, who talk different, who walk different, can live in harmony. God says, let the world see it. Because when the world sees that, the world will be drawn unto me. He says, when I am lifted up, so we got to lift him up. Just by the husband and the wife and the children living in harmony with each other. It's a powerful testimony. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And you see, some of y'all try to rip us down. I don't know about you. Some people meet my wife after service and say, and start to feel sympathy for her. I ain't no way to feel sympathy for my wife. Because I like to make things real. So I guess I make it so real to feel, well, everything was heaven at home. You know, heaven in my house. Keep it real. Somebody said, I can see I can see he wife is Ruhi. Well, you didn't have to say that. You could have asked me that. You only had to ask me, and I would have tell you yes. Did that bother you? Are you sorry for you? But it sure ain't bothering me. Are you very happy? You all don't know, I'm very happy? Very happy under the sun. She real happy too. My children very happy. Oh, yeah. And you concerned with the fact that my wife ruling me? And you home as miserable as ever? Your house is a total wreck, a total mess. And you concerned with me? You better go and look at your own house and sort your business out. Don't get mixed up here. When my wife speaks to me, I obey. It's called submission. When I speak to her, she obeys. It's called submission. It goes both ways. Matter of fact, when my children speak to me, I obey. That's right. You know why? My children are big. 22. My daughter's birthday is today. 22 years of age. My son's birthday was on Wednesday gone. I had it planned good. They were both supposed to born on the same day. I had it down to science. Down back. They were supposed to born on the same day. The 12, both of them. Yes, sir. I had it down back. Had it down back. I had it down back. But my wife had some family in somewhere. We were living at the US, in the U.S. at the time. And my wife knew she was big pregnant, walking and bursting. The woman gone to the mall from morning till night. Came home when the last store closed. I mean, I had it planned good. I would have had the birthday on one day a year. My wife went all over the place. Came home worn out, tired, beaten, bruised, battered. And I'm trying to get some sleep. Cell, get out. I think my water burst. What? I had to get up with my comfortable bed to go take her to the hospital. The baby born under night. That was not part of the plan. Now I got to celebrate two different days. Sometimes I decide I can celebrate in the middle. One said, no, that I want it on my birthday. If she had only stayed home, it would have been not a problem. But Paul says it's a great mystery. It's a mystery, Paul says. And in Ephesians 6, verse 19 says, it's really the mystery of the gospel. It is the gospel that is lived out in your family. That's what it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. And then Paul, watch Paul now. Paul went through this whole rim road, this whole fancy stuff. Oh, swipe, submit, children obey. Mix it up all well and all good. And then when Paul was finished, Paul do like this. Woo, that was rough. Woo, Paul says, finally, finally I got it out. Finally I got it out. Finally I got it out. And here's what Paul says. The list, this one, bam, bam. Be strong. If you don't learn to be strong in your family, God, the devil is going to rip you apart.
Watch it. I don't have time to go through all of this. But Paul says, be strong. He says, put on. There's something you got to put on so you can stay strong. Paul says, put it on. Next slide, baby. Next slide. He says, struggle. I don't know about you, but I've discovered that when it comes to family and living right, you got to struggle. There are times in your life. You got to struggle hard. You got to pray hard. Oh, my goodness gracious. I wish I had the time. And then Paul comes back again. He says one more time, put it on. Now, he says it twice. Put on. Next slide. Next slide, baby. Next slide. Then he says, stand firm. Stop. Let me tell you something. To stand firm, you got to be strong. You got to put on. You got to struggle. You got to put on again. And then you're going to stand firm. Oh, yes, sir. Next slide. And then Paul says, be ready. You know what? Be ready for what? God is about to do something great in your life. But if you don't go through that, if you don't get in there and struggle and put on and be strong and stand firm, if you don't go through that, you will not be ready. You'll never be ready. Then Paul says, take some faith. I wish I had time. I should have spent a little more time on that. Take faith. For faith is the substance. Woo-hoo. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And faith alone. Then Paul says, you got a prayer. Prayer. That's right. Families have got to pray. And they have got to keep praying. You can't stop praying. The day you stop praying is the day the devil will destroy you. The day you stop getting on your knees and calling to God and pulling your family together and praying for them and lifting them up to God, the devil will destroy you. He will take you apart. Peace by peace and turn you into a laughing stock. But Jesus says this. Jesus says this. I have already prayed for you. And let me tell you something. The fact that you are praying and God has already prayed for you, the victory is yours. Oh, yes, sir. The victory is yours, but you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to believe God because God is the one who will work it out. The victory is yours. Do you believe it, church? If you believe it, stand to your feet. If you believe it, stand to your feet. All heads are bowed and all eyes are closed. Father, the family is the unit you are using on this earth to show us, to show the world, to show the universe good you are, how loving you are, how forgiving you are, the kind of God that you are. Help us tonight in our own families to live out that kind of life to the world. Let us walk in love. Let our lights shine. Oh, tonight, Lord, maybe under this tent, there are families who are struggling. The devil has moved in, created bitterness in their hearts for each other. Tonight, break down the bitterness. Break down the hate. Break down the animosity. Break down the pain. Replace it with healing and love and compassion and forgiveness. Let your people hear. Lord, tonight, save your people. Save them for yourself. Save them for yourself. Save us for yourself. For we ask these mercies, Lord, in no other name, but in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let everybody say, amen. And then God bless you and good night.
I want to thank the pastor for that wonderful presentation. I would therefore expect that you will let those persons who are not here tonight, let them know what they have missed. Weren't you blessed? Let's see the hands of all those who were blessed. God is good. Now, we have to pack this place for rent tonight. I don't believe that this valuable information should be lost. I do believe that you can bring your friends, bring your family, even people in the community, those whom we work with during our visitation programs and our open air meetings. You can go invite them, let the people, let this community know again, remind them what is going on here so that we can have more chairs, more people, because this information is very vital at a time such as this. What do you say? So we'll be here Wednesday night at 7:15. Remember, there's Friday night services. Plan for it. You have enough time. 7:15, and then come in your numbers. On Sabbath, we want standing room only. What did I say? How much room? Standing room only. We're going to pack this place, and we are going to give God the glory. Pastor Simon, we want to thank you very much for that beautiful presentation. And tonight I was tremendously blessed. I really, really, really enjoyed this presentation. All right? So let us all stand as we dismiss you. Father in heaven, we are grateful again for this message that you have sent to us through your manservant, Pastor Ricardo Selman. We know, Heavenly Father, that you love us. You want us to be good Christians, good family members. You want our lives to be living epistles, to be read of all men. And so, Father, we pray that we will take this information to heart, and that we will ponder these things in our hearts, and that we will decide from tonight onward that we will make a difference in our communities, that we will make a difference in the church family, which is very important because charity begins at home. I pray, oh God, that this church, even the Amazing Grace Church, would be a better church, Lord, as a result of the presentations that you would afford us for this week. I pray, oh God, that you would touch every heart, and help us, O God, to hasten our footsteps into the community which we serve. And that we will invite people here so that they too will be able to grasp what you have, what information, what counsel, what advice you have for us in these last days. For we recognize the roaring land is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And if we are not careful and we do not put on, if we are not strong, he will take us out. For we know his strategy is to take the weak out and the sick out. But, oh Father, I pray that we will be strong in the Lord and that we will put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, and especially spiritual wickedness in high places. So, loving Father, we thank you again for your manservant. I pray you continue to bless him. Bless his wife in a very special way, as she aided him tonight very well with the program. I pray, God, you bless his children. And Father, I pray that when you shall come with your holy angels, 10,000s upon 10,000s, and your chariots of flaming fire, I pray that every one of us will be in that number when the saints go marching in. Take us now to the safety of our homes, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. We are very glad to see you tonight.